Doing the truth. The Jerry Bader Show.
Hang on a second. I really hate autoplay on laptop videos. I need to disable that. 10:07, the Jerry Bader Show. Well, that would be one way to disable it. But then you could buy me a new laptop, Earl. I'm thinking of a less overt way. So here's an email. Two breaking stories. Released emails show that President Obama was fully aware of Trump spying and wanted full briefing. All right, here is the actual story. Newly revealed text messages between our favorite FBI paramours, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, include an exchange about preparing talking points for then FBI Director James Comey to give to President Obama, who wanted to know everything we're doing. The message from Page to Strzok was among thousands of texts between the lovers reviewed by Fox News. The pair both worked at one point for special counsel Robert Mueller's probe of alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Page wrote to Strzok on September 2, 2016 about prepping Comey because POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. According to a newly released Senate report, this text raises questions about Obama's personal involvement in the Clinton email investigation. In text, that doesn't fully vindicate Donald Trump. It's interesting, and it is noteworthy. It does not fully vindicate Donald Trump. But it's a big story, absolutely. The other story he mentions, which is just hysterical, Adam Schiff trying to get nude pictures of Trump from a Russia actually. It was someone punking Schiff. Does it show he colluded with Russians? Nah. He claims he reported it right away and that he was suspicious of it. That's what Adam Schiff claims. Both stories are very interesting. The second one is very embarrassing. The first one does raise a lot of questions about how involved Obama was in the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And it is a big story, no doubt about it. Doesn't vindicate Donald Trump. It's really not directly related to that investigation. So there's that. Now back to the point I was making, and then I want to move on to something else. That the innovation that the energy source has to drive the innovation. Earl, if you had a guess, and I am going to make you guess, how long do you think gasoline has been around? How long has gasoline been produced? Just pick a year that you think would be when gasoline first. 1840. Wow, you did much better than I thought. 1859 is the first oil well, Edwin Drake. It was shortly after that. You know what? It was considered a useless byproduct. For decades, it was actually sold as a solvent. It was not seen, it was considered a useless byproduct of the distillation of kerosene because it was too volatile. As gasoline is gasoline. Till somebody figured out in a sealed combustion environment, it can be very useful, i.e. an internal combustion engine. That's how it has to work. I should say, that isn't how it has to work. That's the most likely the way that it's going to work. Gee, what can I do with this? Because they tried the first internal combustion engines tried to use coal gas, gas captured from the excavation of coal. But ultimately, the best sealed combustion fuel was gasoline. By the way, that's one of the biggest mistakes in Back to the Future 2 when they're in the Old West. There won't be a gas station for another whatever. There was gasoline, though. They actually could have found gasoline in 1885 or 81 or whatever it was. They actually could have done that. 1885. They could have done that. I'm sure there was gasoline in California. But it was discarded. That's really how it has to work. Or it is most likely, I shouldn't keep saying that. Speaking of innovation, I don't know about you, but I am absolutely fascinated by what Elon Musk did yesterday. I mean, Earl, I saw it on ABC News last night. It was like I was either watching a spoof newscast or news from the future. It's going to be 49 years ago on July 20th that I and the rest of the world were fascinated that grainy black and white video from the lunar surface, Neil Armstrong touching his foot, one small step for a man is what it was supposed to be, one giant leap for mankind. It was amazing. It was incredible. Yesterday, Elon Musk shot a car into space, a Tesla, the other big company he has. It was fascinating. I'm watching this video of a car in space. And by the way, the synchronized landing of the boosters, amazing. Just amazing. I'm virtually speechless. And I will say this. This is way, way beyond what I thought the private sector, space travel industry, and it's weird even to say that, was capable of. Before funding SpaceX in 2002, Elon Musk had a wild plan to fly a plant to Mars. The idea was to show life on the desolate planet, a brushstroke of vibrant green on a lifeless and red canvas. On Tuesday, Musk launched the biggest one yet, the rocket, from the same launch pad that sent Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins to the moon in 1969. A rocket capable of boosting a payload to Mars that's currently the most powerful in the world. With the maiden flight of the Falcon Heavy, Musk achieved an extraordinary engineering feat, pulling off the launch of a 27-engine beast that boosted a Tesla Roadster deep into space. But beyond the mechanical architecture of the launch and its high degree of difficulty, the launch provided the artful inspiration Musk has pursued for years. After the burst of flame and smoke from the pad, and this is just amazing to watch the video, two of the three boosters returned to Earth, landing side by side on a pair of pads along the coastline, touching down in unison like a pair of synchronized swimmers. Did you see that, Earl? You have not seen that video? You have to see that video. Now, here's what I find very interesting. I have commented that government money shouldn't be spent on human space travel. Here's my theory on this. I don't know the value in sending people to Mars. I don't know. But if the private sector wants to do it, hey, that's up to them. What kind of mileage is that car getting as it travels through the universe? I don't think there's any. Well, is a Tesla fully electric? Yeah, it's fully electric. So it wouldn't have any fuel anyway. Battery's going to last a long, long time. Wonder if they put a little solar panel on there. Anyway. I think our quest should be deep space exploration. I think you do that with nanoprobes, very, very, very small items that can collect data and eventually return it to Earth. but they can travel great, great, great distances at great, great speeds. Yeah, and they've got the mannequin in it and the spacesuit. It's like out of a 60s futuristic movie. It was just amazing. In terms of what the government should spend its money on, I think that that type of fully automated, non-human space travel, I think is the most cost-effective and the most cost-efficient. That's what I think. To invest in an expensive government program to continue putting people in what I would call near space, and that even includes Mars, I don't think that's worth it. So I was fascinated by this. If Elon Musk can actually turn a profit by putting things and people in space, that's great. And he's right, this probably does launch a whole new space race, as it were. It's kind of silly and fun, but silly and fun things are important, Mr. Musk said, referring to the Tesla with strapped inside it, a mannequin wearing one of SpaceX's spacesuits. They're expected to orbit the sun for hundreds of millions of years. The success gives SpaceX momentum to begin developing even larger rockets, which could help fulfill Mr. Musk's dream of sending people to Mars. To do that, he's described a new generation called, you know, his rockets are called BFR. All I'm going to say is the B stands for big and the R for rocket. Okay? We don't need to go any further than that, do we? Well, that's what's interesting, because NASA had what it called the Big Dumb Rocket. Do you know what the Big Dumb Rocket was? It would have dwarfed the Saturn V that sent man to the moon. It would be used to have a single craft land on the moon and then return, instead of a command module and a lunar excursion module. That's what LEM stands for. They just didn't consider it viable. So in the pure and innocent 1950s and 60s, it was the Big Dumb Rocket. Now it's the BFR. He added that he hoped the launch would encourage other companies and other countries to aim for more ambitious goals in space. We want a new space race, he said. Races are exciting. He's right about that. Mr. Musk's visions include humans living both on Earth and Mars. He's part of a new generation of entrepreneurial space pioneers that includes Jeffrey Bezos, founder of Amazon, who has said one of the goals driving his rocket company, Blue Origin, is the prospect of millions of people living in space. Planetary Resources, an American company with a large investment from Luxembourg, not the one in Wisconsin, by the way, hopes to mine asteroids for profit. Moon Express, based in Florida, sees a business in providing regular transportation to and from the moon. All I can think of is the Ferengi from Star Trek. It's all about the business, all about the... Actually, I think this is great. I still would like to see the government involved. Yeah, the Dow's up 316.27. If that holds, man, this is a complete turnabout. Fastest recovery ever. Pretty darn close. Although delayed by high-altitude winds, the countdown proceeded smoothly without any of the glitches that have bedeviled other maiden launches of new rockets. The Heavy roared to life, a plume of smoke and steam shooting sideways from the launch pad. It rose from the pad with an impossibly bright glare of 27 engines beneath it. What is... Let's see if I can pull this off. I was such a space nut. If this is the actual pad from which Apollo 11 launched, I think it's 39B. You look that up in the next 5 minutes, Earl. I think it's 39B. That would be, like, crazy stupid if I got that one right. I think 39A. Oh, come on! Darn it! 39A. Why did I say B? Why didn't I just say A? Because I think 39B was used for Gemini and maybe the early Apollo missions. No, almost the Saturn V, no, nobody cares. On to other things in 5 minutes. It's 10:21.
The Jerry Bader Show.